Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived.
All right, thank you, and welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of the city of Chicago. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. It feels like midsummer. It feels like midsummer. We have been in the 80s, and I'm near the lakefront, and I just feel for those people further out south and south and out west, because I know it's a lot hotter and humid and muggy. But it's weird because this is fall. This is October, going into late October, and we're having summer-like weather, and people are saying, wow, this is great. This is wonderful. And it is. You got people out in the parks, the lakes, on the lakefront, you know, playing baseball, playing soccer. I mean, you know, just out enjoying themselves on this very, very unusual fall day. To be so hot. I mean, we're going back to the air conditioners and the fans and, you know, wanting to go to the beach and stuff, you know. It's I'm serious, folks. It is unprecedented. I mean, it's something wrong in the air. I mean, they can call it climate change. They can call it whatever they want to. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't want to say much because I'm not fluent or privy to some of this stuff, but it's weird. Something's going on. I mean, this time of the year in the city of Chicago, I mean, 55, 60 maybe, but never 80, especially going into November. But it's, you know what, for the last two or three years, there's been some strange goings on with the weather. You take this Hurricane Matthew, a lot of people are saying that the weather services overreacted. Then some, I mean, if you had a tree fall on your house and you were flooded out, you would say, wow, they were dead on the money. They were right. But in some of these places where the people were told to evacuate their homes, I mean, they had me thinking that Florida was going to be wiped off the map. Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia. They had me thinking with this, you know, with this Hurricane Matthew that they were going to become extinct. And because the way they were just, even the president of the United States was saying, get out, evacuate. The storm is coming. The Matthew is coming. Move. And people heeded that. And now some of those people are saying, bullshit. It's just one of those things. It's just another reason to say that the American weather industry just cannot get this thing right. They cannot get it right for nothing. I'm not downplaying the storms, Hurricane Matthew. I'm not downplaying it. It did wreak havoc in a lot of other in a lot of places. A lot of people had to leave. A lot of people wish they hadn't stayed. But it, But I guess what I'm saying is it was atrocious, but it did not wipe these cities off the map as the weather service was predicting. You know, it wasn't as bad as they, it was bad. Don't get me wrong. It was totally bad. People died, but it wasn't as bad as they predicted. It wasn't. It just wasn't. And you can find some people who can tell you that. And there's a lot of people probably pissed off because they got in their cars thinking that their town was going to be wiped off the map. And they come back, their houses have not been touched or they're still there, you know. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, this is just my opinion of it. I just think they just overblown it. But in the city of Chicago, it is 83 degrees, or it has been, and it feels very, 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 very humid, muggy and hot. People are out here in shorts, short sleeves, when they should be covered up maybe with a jacket or a coat or something. But it's I'm not complaining about it, folks. It's just weird. That's all. And I hope wherever you are in the world that it's nice and comfy and great where you are. And even if it's, you know, I mean, if it's raining, you know, you're going to stay inside and just probably, because usually if it's raining and it's cloudy, that connotes to sleeping weather. And but it's strange. It is really strange. Okay, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm on Monday through Friday. I mean, that some of those things may change in the near future. I could be on at any time, but right now, because things are going to change for me in a way where my schedule is going to get, the schedule may get bounced around here or there. So I'm letting you know right now that, you know, always tune into the George Wilder Jr. Show. If you can't listen live, you can podcast the show, download it, listen to it on the website or whatever, but always listen because they're all good shows. And there's going to be some changes. There's no doubt about it either. Maybe in a month or two, maybe starting in 2017. But for now, I'm on 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday, as you probably know, if you've been listening to the show at all. And Monday through Thursday, I'm 6 o'clock to 7:30, sometimes 8, depends on how the show is going. This is the internet. This is the internet show. And I love internet. I mean, I think because I get people, I get guests, I get calls from all over the world. That's neat. That's awesome. All over the world, people are calling the George Wilder Jr. Show. People are asking to be on the George Wilder Jr. Show. And that's, you know, makes me feel good because I try to give them a great, great platform to try to tell us how they are going to make the world a better place. And that's what it's all about. All right. You've been listening to George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn. This is like a broken record. You know, I'm on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Twitter. I mean, just like you are. I mean, who isn't on Facebook? You got to be, I don't know, brain dead not to be on Facebook. Even if you don't have a computer, you can always go to the library and create yourself a Facebook page. You know, so there's no reason for that. And, Twitter, you know, all of this stuff is interactive. I believe Facebook is talking about buying, or do they already own LinkedIn? I mean, Facebook is wiping up the internet. I mean, they're owning everything on the internet except for Google. Yeah, I probably say Facebook and Google is probably owning a lot of this stuff. You know, if you go into a social website, you're going to find out later that it's probably owned by Google or is owned by Facebook, because I think Google and Facebook are just like I just got through saying, these guys are really, really taking a big chunk out of the internet. They have the money. They have the money and they have the lawyers to do this thing with. So it's all social. It's all social. I don't know why people go to these love sites, romance, trying to find a lover or something. And they have to pay. I mean, it's yearly, you know, big dough. I mean, when you can go to LinkedIn, you can go to Facebook, you can meet people, 1,000 people, you ain't got to pay a dime. So why go to match.com? I mean, they're going to rip you off. And still you're going to meet somebody that's not compatible with what you do and what you think. I mean, they're going to lie. Folks place their pictures or their photographs up there. That's not them. That's, it may be them, but it's them from 5, 10, 20 years ago, and they've changed a hell of a lot. So when the day that you go to meet them in person, they may not look like the person that you saw in a photograph online. They may look a little older, a little shabbier, or whatever, you know. So it's not always good to go on some of these match.com sites, Plenty of Fish and stuff like that. That's to me, that's a ripoff. You know, that's a ripoff of your money. You don't have to do that. You can meet people on Facebook. You can get their number. You can call them. You can meet them. You know, I mean, you don't have to come out of your pocket, hundreds of dollars out of your pocket to meet someone that you can't stand or don't like. You know what I'm saying? All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Let's get this thing under. I mean, you know what's happening now, folks? A lot of political ads. If you watching over-the-air TV, in some cases, cable television, you know, you're going to be bombarded with. That's one of the things I hate about the political season, because they bombard you with They bombard you with salacious campaign literature, political ads, if I can say. And this is, and that it's happening right now as I speak. I mean, I can't even, you know, go to a web page without somebody popping up, vote for me, you know. Don't vote for the other person because they're horrible. Vote for me. I'll do everything for you. I've been voting all my life, folks, and I don't think one political person has done anything for me. My life has not changed one bit because of some politician. You know, so I really don't know. But, you know, I'm going to do my duty. I'm going to get out here and vote, and I hope you do too, because this election has been, well, the campaigning has been just weird. It has been just totally, totally awful. Donald Trump, he's got his problems. Hey, Hillary Clinton, she's got her emails. And, you know, I just wish that it was Bernie Sanders. I wish that the the DMC did not hoodwink or con or just blatantly mess this thing up for Bernie Sanders. You know, I just wish it was him, but it's not him, and it sure in the hell can't be Donald Trump. Yeah, you know, I mean, this guy is unhinged. He's off the record. He's not fit to be president. He has, as they say, this guy is totally thin-skinned. He's revering up his supporters to hate and destroy and to do violence. There's no doubt about that. He is totally unhinged, and a lot of people are calling him Hitler, and I'm beginning to see why. I'm beginning to understand why. Okay, my guest today is author Lauren Midgley, professional speaker. Okay, we're going to be probably talking about something in the long lines of that, public professional speaking, you know, so, or professional speaker. All righty, on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Folks, I'm still amazed at how this weather is. I mean, it is totally, totally, totally off the charts. But I'm not complaining. I don't think too many people are. We're just here, and we're going to deal with it, and we're going to love it, and we're going to like it. Thank you for tuning in to the George Wilder Jr.
Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of Chicago, and we are helping to make the world a better place, one show at a time. Thank you for listening. Thank you for finding the show, downloading the show, and just having a great time. Here we go.
All right, we are, thank you. We are back in the saddle again. Okay, before I get on to anything else that's probably important, I'm probably going to be talking about something that you know already. The Chicago Cubs, they are in their second round of the playoffs. They lost last night. I believe they're going to play on Tuesday. Not tonight, but Tuesday. Tuesday. And I want to say that I'm very proud of those guys. I think they're very talented. I think they are deserving of what all the accolades that they're going to get. And I just want to congratulate them on their season. You know, I just want to do that because I think these guys are going to go all the way. They've lost they lost the first game in the second round of the playoffs, but these guys are going to bounce back. They're resilient. So, I mean, you Cub fans out there, don't get disheartened, you know, and because they've gotten, I mean, I think this is the best out of seven. So, you know, they got a few games to go. And I think the Cubs are going to pull this out. I'm going to pull for them. I'm going to, you know, be in their corner. The George Wilder Jr. Show is in the corner of the Chicago Cubs. Go Cubs, go Cubs. It doesn't matter whether you guys are Democrats, Republicans, independents. These guys all represent the city of Chicago. It's great. I mean, I can cite the crime statistic and it's bad, but the Cubs are a positive force in the city of Chicago. And something positive to talk about instead of all the, you know, the other thing, the crime. They are totally positive. And they have got to go all the way, folks. They have got to do this for the city of Chicago. The Bears, on the other hand, they are 1-5. They lost. The Bears aren't going anywhere. I mean, there's not a sportscaster anywhere that's going to say that the Bears are going to the playoffs, let alone the world's, I mean, the I'm not the World Series, but the Super Bowl, let alone the Super Bowl. They've lost 5 games. They're 1-5. They're down at the bottom, and they're going to play this Thursday. They're going to play the Green Bay Packers. Wow. And I think after that, they're going to the San Francisco 49ers. They're at the bottom of their division, and, you know, it's just horrible, some of these teams. And John Lester, the coach of the Chicago Bears, I mean, his job is totally on the line. He will not be back next year. They may fire him before the season is over. Who knows? But, you know, you have to put this on the coaching. You have to go with the coaching. So there you go. There you go, folks. The Chicago Cubs are winners. The Chicago Bears are losers. And we have in some hellified weather in the city of Chicago. Wow. And I want to say this. This is just came in. High school graduates are up 82.2%. I want to congratulate them on that. And we should all congratulate them. They're grad. Yeah, it's up. People are getting out of high school. That's great. The next up, college. You know, it's probably not going to be so easy for a lot of people because college is not free. I mean, it's not free. You get these loans and, you know, I mean, that's another story. We're going to do a whole segment on, is college worth it? You know, we're going to do that in the future of shows because, you know, I think it's a great topic to talk about. In some cases, I'm going to answer the question right now. I think in some cases, college is worth it because a bachelor's degree or associate degree will earn you a lot more money than a high school diploma. You know, there's no doubt about it. Like I said before, we'll talk about that later. I'm going to have someone on the show to talk about that. And I hope you guys tune in for that. Okay, but that's great news. That's great news. Target. The chain of stores. I mean, everybody knows Target. I mean, even I have shopped at Target. I have make no bones about it. If I want to go get something, most of the time I go to Target. It's just one of those stores that you like. However, this is just in for me. Target is taking all of its clown costumes, I believe, for Halloween off the shelf because of this. You know, I'm pretty sure you heard about the clowns, the scary clowns all over America, just standing there scaring people, making threats, looking menacing, looking like the Joker from Batman or something. But, you know, they have taken all this stuff off the shelf. They are not selling clown paraphernalia, makeup, costumes, or anything. And this is, from my understanding, this is the first big box store to do that, to ban all clown material from their shelves because of this, you know, this scare that's been going around the United States. Okay, I've said before, I used to work with someone who she was a clown part-time. She was a clown part-time and sometimes even without the makeup. but anyway, I just hope that it hasn't hurt her career as a clown. She was, you know, she was a very nice person. She was funny. And, you know, I mean, if you know anybody who makes their living off being a clown, who enjoys being a clown, I'm hearing even in some cases they have taken away Ronald McDonald. I mean, there's no more Ronald McDonald for a while because, you know, he's a clown for McDonald's. You know, so these things are happening. I mean, you know, it's crazy and it's ridiculous. I think clowns, you're giving clowns a bad name, period. All righty, teacher strike. The teacher strike in the Chicago never happened. They reached a settlement, and it's a big-ass settlement. I mean, Rahm Emanuel opened the piggy bank for them and gave them everything that they wanted. And now you don't hear a word from these teachers. You don't hear a word from the unions because they've gotten what they want. They're quiet now. They're satisfied. They're happy. So there's actually nothing for me to say because I had a feeling that this guy was going to cave in, but what can I do? I'm just a radio host. I did talk about the political ads. I mean, they are all over the place. They are all over the place. I mean, you got this one ad, Rauner. You got Bruce Rauner. He's a Republican. They got him alongside Donald Trump. You know, I figure if you don't like Donald, if you're not going to vote for Donald Trump, then don't vote for Bruce Rauner. You know, I mean, the ads are very, very, very nasty. You know, they're very nasty. Some of them are just plain out lies. But this season of the election, I mean, go out there and vote. Vote for whoever you want to vote for. Just vote. But I would probably say do not vote for Donald Trump. But I'm hearing that it's about to be a landslide. Clinton is going to take this. And Trump is revering up his deplorable supporters. He's saying that the election is rigged, and we all know that's not true. He's been citing violence. He wants his supporters to do violence. You know, he wants them to go around to every polling place to watch the voting as if he, you know, has a big stake in those polling places. This man is something else. Donald Trump is all about himself. He's not about anyone else but himself. You take his family. He's not even about his family. And with all of these women coming out accusing him of sexual harassment, you know. But anyway, he has to go down, and he should go down in a landslide. And it looks that way because women are not. And, you know, so it really does look that way. Donald Trump is not.
Senior political commentator Scotty Neil Hughes, a Trump supporter and political commentator, Anna Navarro panel. Thank you very much. I want you to listen again to Donald Trump speaking to NBC's Billy Bush. This is 2005.
I better use some Tic Tacs just in case they start kissing her. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. You just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the pussy. I can do anything.
So, Gloria, you have that. And then you have the story by Nicholas Kristof, which you just heard. What's your reaction?
And so much more, Don. Well, my reaction is that Donald Trump presents a real and present danger, both to the image and to the status and also to the condition and to the rights of women. This is not just about vulgar behavior. This is about harmful behavior. Don, if we're talking about sexual harassment in the workplace, the courts would talk about, is this severe or is it pervasive? Well, this is both severe and pervasive. And as was pointed out earlier, this is part of a pattern of conduct. We're talking about people on The Apprentices, complaining that they allege that Mr. Trump was talking about their breast size. We're talking about Rancho Palos Verdes, the Trump golf course here in Southern California, where employees alleged that they were not permitted to serve food in the restaurant because they weren't attractive enough. They were in fear of being retaliated against. This is very serious behavior. And
host of HBO's Real Time, and HBO and CNN are both owned by Time Warner. We met on his Real Time set, and things got real, well, really quickly. Bill Maher, pleasure to have you on.
Pleasure to be here.
Whatever happens with this election, the big question I think we are all still trying to puzzle is how Trump, why Trump? What is your explanation as to why Donald Trump erupted onto the political scene the way he did?
Well, you have to look at the people who voted for him. I mean, it's depressing to think that you share the country with so many people who you share nothing with. You know, Donald Trump is a reflection. And what we learned is that there's a lot of vulgar, tacky, racist people in this country, more than I thought. I knew there was some. But it's the proverbial lifting
of a
rock.
More than I thought.
And what we found when we lifted it
and
up
I'm
was
with
a
you.
Basket of deplorables.
I knew there was some.
I hate that term, but if the basket fits, and it does.
Wear it.
There are a lot of people who talk about the economic anxiety, the dislocation, the pain. Mm. In your last monologue, you don't buy
well,
that.
Well, I mean, we found out it was a myth. I mean, the typical Trump voter in the primaries made, I think, $72,000. They're not hurting economically like they say they are. No more likely to be hurt by trade or immigration. No more likely to be out of work. You know, the base problem is that they live in this fact-free bubble. I mean, have you ever seen one of his rallies? It's just a completely fact-free assessment of this country, the problems facing it, and his always constitutionally impossible solutions. It's funny, the internet was supposed to make us smarter, but it just served as a seal for knowledge to get in.
The perfect example of that is he keeps citing these online non-polls as polls.
Oh, right. Yes. I mean,
it's like, we won all the polls.
He said this week that ISIS was not only going to take over their part of the world, but take over America. You know, back in the day, if you were in the John Birch Society, you had to go door to door with pamphlets and you have to talk to people or whatever. Now they're right on the chat room. You can just spew your nonsense, and there's lots of people who that's what they want to hear and they want to believe, and so they do. So we live in this element where it's not even a race between ideologies anymore. It's not Republican and Democrat or conservative and liberal. It's reality versus alternative reality, this reality of their own choosing. And to make it even worse, they don't care about lying. Lying, bold-faced, caught-on-tape lying, is no longer a deal-breaker at all. They don't care. They don't care. They know or they don't know. It doesn't matter to them. He's their guy.
How much of Trump's success is that he comes from this much larger world than the political world, the world of celebrity? I remember reading this thing by Josh Raymer, who said, if you had said to somebody 2 years ago, there's this one candidate who's got two presidents in his family, he's got an amazing Rolodex, he'll raise $50 million in the first month or two, and there's this other guy who's got 10 million Twitter followers, who's going to win? And was the guy with the Twitter followers.
Right. Well, celebrity is everything in this country. It's funny. Somebody ought to write a book or maybe...
All right. All right. We are back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. Thank you for tuning in. All right. Okay, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I hope you enjoyed that. Now let's go see who's on the line. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show.
Hi, George. Welcome. This is Lauren Midgley.
Hey.
Welcome.
Hi, Lauren Midgley. You are on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thanks for coming. Thanks for being a part of it. Thanks for being a part of wanting to make the world a better place. Thank you.
And I was going to say the same thing to you about, you know, just the fact that you are making the world a better place one show at a time with all your shows and messages. Love it.
Yeah. We try. I mean, I try. I mean, you know, it's fun. I love doing it. I just enjoy it. And I mean, give us a little bit of bio and tell us about yourself. You are a professional speaker, I understand.
Yes, I am. And I speak on the topic of productivity, and I enjoy helping entrepreneurs primarily get focused on what matters most right now in their business. Because what I find, George, when I work with people is that most entrepreneurs are really scattered in their business model in terms of what they're trying to accomplish. And they need to focus in on what is going to either make them money, serve their purpose. I mean, there's lots of things. And sometimes you just, you know, it's human nature that we just take on too many things. We overcommit. And guess what? We become overwhelmed. Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I'm just so busy. I do become overwhelmed. And why do you think so many businesses fail?
Well, I, the common theory is that businesses are undercapitalized, but I believe that there's something even deeper than that. And this kind of goes back, and I'll talk a little bit about my background in a second, but I think a lot of this goes back to why are these individuals in business and how committed are they to the business? And is it a business that will sustain them? And, you know, I hate to say it, but sometimes we need to really run the numbers on the business of what, you know, what's the possibility of it? And how do we get clients? How do we find clients? Because as you know, George, you don't have a business unless you have clients and cash flow.
Exactly.
Those two things make a business. Yeah. And so it's
and
like, so when I work with people, which will lead to profit, right? So when I work with people, you know, that's the first question I ask is, how do you go get your clients? And, you know, what's the cash flow of your business? And then ultimately, and this is the underlying undercurrent of a business is, you know, how is that owner or entrepreneur spending their time to go get clients? Mm-hmm. And or, you know, if they hire people, they're how productive are they? And so I just have kind of made my life doing that for the past 6 years. Started my own business 6 years ago, voluntarily left corporate in the year of 2010 when a lot of people were not walking away from six-figure jobs. And I decided that,
Lauren,
you know, I had just had enough of corporate and that I wanted to, you know, make a difference.
You're fading in and out.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Is this better?
That's a lot better.
Hello? Okay.
Hello? Sorry. It's a lot better. Yeah. Okay, good.
Okay, good. So about 6 years ago, I decided that I was going to, you know, start my own business. And when I was in corporate, my job was to help our franchisees build their business in sales and marketing. And, you know, what I did is I looked at why some entrepreneurs were really successful and why some were not. And, you know, let's just assume everybody has skills, you know, to go out and do the business, right? Or technical skills to be able to do the business.
Yeah.
But it was like, how focused were they and how did they spend their time toward the business? And so it's not about time management, but it's really saying, okay, you know, I wake up at a certain time and I get going and I, you know, do my work day. And how good am I using my time during that workday to get done what I need to get done, or do I fritter it away? And then, you know, it's 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, whatever, at night, and you're like, darn, I didn't get a dang thing done, you know? That's what we say in Texas, dang thing, you know, dang.
Yeah, I know.
So in Chicago, you may not use the word dang, but in Texas we do, you know? So, but yeah, so it's like, how many times do we end at the end of the day and like, darn, I didn't get anything done? And it's like, okay, why did that happen and whose fault is it? And how can you do better the next day? That's the way I look at it. So anyway, so I speak on productivity and I love just helping business owners kind of just connect the dots and see how they can better focus their time to get done what they need to get done.
So you've focused on businesses that are already successful to help them to be more successful.
Exactly. But you know what? Mm-hmm. I do work with a lot of startups, and I also work with people that are in transition, that are because I did leave the corporate world and I made that choice. I understand how scary it can be to, you know, take that first step and move forward and say, okay, well, how can I make this work? How can I, you know, feed my family? How can I survive? And here's my belief on entrepreneurs. I don't know if you believe this as well, but, you know, one of the reasons why we become entrepreneurs or we're in business for ourselves is we want that freedom. We want the freedom.
I agree with that.
Yeah. And we want the freedom to say, okay, I don't, you know, I'm not chained to a desk. I can, you know, work the hours that I want to work and I can figure it out. And so when I work with business owners, I was like, how, you know, are you getting the freedom that you want? Guess what? The answer is not all, you know, is your business in chaos? And is the freedom? It's like, okay, well, let's figure out how we can sort that out, get you the freedom, you know, sort out the chaos that's going on. Cause you know, all businesses have, you know, some form of chaos, some, you know, really high, some low. Yeah. And then, you know, is it serving you financially in the way that you want it to serve you? Right. And, go ahead.
I was going to say, and you've been successful at this.
I have. So, you know, 6 years ago when I started, I will tell you, I wasn't as successful because I was trying to figure it out. You know, I didn't have the corporate backing and now I needed to go out and get clients and share my gifts with them. And I knew that I could help them, but I needed, I needed a client to say, yes, Lauren, I'll pay you some money for your knowledge and your help.
That sounds great. Pay me for my knowledge and my help.
And exactly, it's what you do, you know, on a daily basis as you communicate out to your audience. But what I found was that for me, as a business strategist, if I could get in front of a group of business owners speaking and talking about, you know, some common problems that we all have, it was a way for me to get visibility and it was a way for me to attract clients. And then guess what, George, along the way, I found that I really liked speaking. I really liked being, you know, the messenger and, you know, in front of a group of people.
It's fun. Public speaking. I mean, I remember the first time I stood up in front of some people and started to speak. You know, I mean, I thought I was going to, I mean, I was nervous. I was afraid, but I got my message across and they understood that. And I never realized how many people after the speech, so many people came up and shook my hand. I thought I was the worst thing there, but you know, they liked it. I was nervous. I was scared, but I gave my speech. It's fun because, you know, you're helping other people, and especially you know, you're helping other people to, you know, in their businesses, because you're using your own experiences, whether negative or positive, to help other people. And that's great. And they're looking for that. They're looking for those. People are looking for help of any kind to help them to be successful.
Right. And what you realize when you do the public speaking of that and your message, because we all have a story, and you're right, there's, you know, there's some positives and some negatives, but, you know, if you impact some people in your audience, then, you know, it's all good. And what you realize after you've been speaking for a while, what you realize is it's really not about you. It's about your message and how it impacts them and how you connect with your audience.
That's what I try to tell people all the time. It's not about me. Yeah. Some people think, oh, you're on the radio. You got you all over the world. It's not about me. It's about you. It's about giving you a platform. It's not about me, you know.
Right. And one of the things that mm-hmm. I say a lot that I really truly believe in is that, you know, back to the business owner or the entrepreneur, if you look at any business, your business, my business, and any of your listeners' businesses, you know, mm-hmm. we have that stack of folders, you know, could be electronic or it could be paper, that are on our desk that are, you know, challenges or problems or things that we need to solve, right? You know, going back to that whole chaos theory, right? Mm-hmm. So no matter mm-hmm. what business you are, there's no perfect business, and there's always something that, you know, needs to be worked on. And so it's, you know, so if you deliver your message or I deliver my message and we impact a few people to help take a few of those folders off of the desk and solve that problem for them, you know, we're all, it's a win-win situation for everybody, right?
Yeah.
So the key is just getting in front of the right people. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Lauren Midgley on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Do you have a book? Have you written a book about what you do?
I do. I'm glad you asked. I've written three. I've written three in 3 years, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm an overachiever. And the latest one is a bestseller on Amazon. And it's called, you're going to like this, George. It's called It's 6 a.m. and I'm Already Behind. 30 Strategies to Get Caught Up in a Crazy Busy World. It's 6 a.m.
I do like
and
that.
I'm already behind. It's on Amazon, and when people look, you know, see my title and see the book, they just start shaking their head up and down. Yep, that's me.
Yeah, you know what? That title is what a lot of people have experienced, probably. You know, and that's one of the things about a book. You want to put a title on there that's going to catch the eye of many people. And that title catches a lot of eyes.
Yeah, it's 6 a.m. and I'm already behind. And, you know, the thing is, you know, the thing I thought about as I was thinking about this whole bit about productivity is, mm-hmm. you know, people feel like they're behind. They wake up and they have anxiety because they feel like they're behind, or they're overwhelmed with their mm-hmm. day, their mm-hmm. life, et cetera. And, you know, it's like, that's just not a good feeling to have, right? And so my mission or my message is to say, how can we minimize the overwhelm in your life? Because what mm-hmm. that also does on the other side is minimize the stress that you've got in your life. And, you know, it's a classic term that says, you know, we all have 24 hours a day, and that's true. Mm-hmm. How do we use mm-hmm. it? But I think sometimes mm-hmm. we don't use it as intentionally as we could. You know, one of my other common sayings is, you know, if we're going to bed at night and we can't shut our mind down to go to sleep, or we're thinking about our day, about all the stuff we didn't get done, or we're thinking about the next day of all the stuff mm-hmm. that we have to do, it's like, that's not good. kind of like, how can we, you know, affect just the day that we had, do all the things that we thought were important or the best, you know, mm-hmm. give it our best shot, so that we go to bed at night, George, and we say, you know what, darn, I had a good day. I did what I could, given the energy that I had, and, you know, and feel good about ourselves rather than mm-hmm. beat ourselves up. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. What made you want to help others? I mean, you seem like you have a passion at this. What made you want to come out and help others? Was it your own experiences?
It's a good question. I think a big part of it was my own experience. I mean, when I worked in corporate, mm-hmm. I mean, literally, I did. I woke up every morning thinking, you know, it was 6 a.m. and I was already behind. And I put in a lot of hours. You know, get there at the office early, I'd stay late, and I still had this incredible to-do list that was just staring me down. Mm. And it was like, you know, there's got to be a better way to figure this out. And so I began to study time and how mm-hmm. people use it. And
then looking at our franchisees and which ones were more successful than others, and all that, you know, that really does make a difference when you figure out how can we get our stuff done that we, you know, make us feel good, right?
Yeah,
so that was,
yeah.
My first book was called Successfully Failing at Procrastination.
Failing at procrastination. How does anybody fail at procrastination?
Successfully failing at procrastination.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Successfully.
If you're going to fail at it, you want to do it well. Right?
Okay. I get it. I get the point. Yeah. You're going to fail again. Good. Do it good. Yes. Thanks for being on the show. Let's see. Thanks for being on the show. You've been great. You've been wonderful. We're running out of time. Can you give us your website and tell us where we can find your books again?
Sure. My Lauren website is Lauren Midgley, Lauren Midgley.com. Mm-hmm. And then the book is either on Amazon or an easy website is it's 6ambook.com. And that would allow you to access that book.
6ambook.com.
It's 6 a.m.
It's 6 a.m. book.
Yeah, it's okay. 6ambook.com. Yeah. Right.
Okay. All right. I'm going to, the show is going to be over in about, maybe in about 30 minutes. Do you want me to send you a link to the show? So maybe you can put it on your website.
Yes,
people
please.
Can come by there and hear you on the show. Okay. You have
that.
Been
good.
No problem at all. You've been great. Thanks for being on the show. Thanks for doing it. Author Lauren Midgley on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Bye bye.
Thanks, George. Bye.
All right. All righty. That was great. That was great. Go get that book. It's 6ambook.com. I hope I got that right. I will be right back, folks. No problem. No problem. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Let's see what we got down here, George Carlin. And it has been so much fun, folks. I just love doing this show. I love having great people on the show. I love the way, you know, everybody's come on the show trying to say, George, we're thinking the same way you thinking. Well, trying to make the world a better place. It's tough.
Somebody has to tell me why America just made this guy so famous.
This is Ken Bone, one of the undecided voters who asked a question at last Sunday's debate and since then has become a folk hero. Why? Why? Because after 15 months of this campaign, he's still too stupid to pick Hillary over President Pussy Grabber? For me, the great sadness of this election is knowing that even if Trump doesn't become president, we live in a country where half the people think he should be. Now,
yeah, that's bad.
I would really like to ask
that's Mr. really bad.
Bone, or any undecided voter, as these last 15 months rolled along, there was no breaking point for you? Trump saying he would kill the children of terrorists with drone strikes? Physically throwing out 12 million Mexicans, banning all Muslims, giving Saudi Arabian nukes, running a scam university, cheating veterans out of charity money, not paying taxes, picking Putin as his favorite leader, not being able to let go of a feud for a whole week with a beauty queen, the impressions of the handicapped, nothing. Last November, when Trump was losing in Iowa, he said, in Iowa, two Iowans.
How stupid are the people of Iowa?
And now, he's leading in Iowa. So I guess he got his answer. That's how stupid. Florida is a climate-ravaged state full of old people. And they elected as governor a climate change denier who, when he was a businessman, oversaw the largest Medicare fraud in history. And it's not just Republicans. 5% of Bernie supporters have switched allegiance to a ventriloquist dummy named Gary Johnson, whose policy positions are almost uniformly the exact opposite of Bernie's, and who, when pressed to name a foreign country, said Brangelina. When asked, does the Earth go around the sun, or the sun around the Earth, a full quarter of Americans said the sun revolves around the Earth. And the Earth revolves around NASCAR. Americans know they live in the greatest country, but 35% can't name one branch of government. Only 36% can name all three. A full 80% think Ramadan is those noodles college kids eat. 7 years ago, I was on CNN and said I didn't think Sarah Palin would ever be president, but, quote, I wouldn't put anything past this stupid country. Then we went to a break, and when we came back, Wolf Blitzer said this.
So people are already complaining that you're calling the United States a stupid country and giving you a chance to clarify.
I don't need to clarify. It is. I hate to sound like Donald Trump, but I predicted it. I called it, and people are giving me a lot of credit. Folks, blowing up the world is something that could actually happen. If you don't think so, you haven't seen enough movies. Movies always foresee the future. Flip phones in Star Trek. Touchscreens in Minority Report. iPads in 2001, A Space Odyssey. Black presidents before Obama. Spectacular terrorist attacks on American soil before 9/11. Network in 1976 predicted Fox News and reality TV. And Blade Runner showed a future Los Angeles where life is bleak, overcrowded, and dehumanizing, and that's just on the 405. And of course, Forrest Gump came out in 1994, years before we elected George W. Bush. And what scenario? What scenario has Hollywood, what has Hollywood been envisioning lately? I'm making a serious point here. Earth after an apocalypse. Hunger Games, Divergent, Mad Max, V for Vendetta, Maze Runner, Matrix, Interstellar, The Postman, The Book of Eli, The Road, even little Wall-E.
Yeah, it's cool.
And how did Earth reach this point in these movies? Always because we did it to ourselves. In the day the Earth stood still, Keanu Reeves plays an alien sent to Earth to exterminate mankind because stupid, selfish humans are destroying a perfectly good planet. He gets talked out of it, but it's not like he didn't have a point. In half of these movies, it starts with, after humanity destroyed itself in the Great War, what was left of government decided human passions needed to be controlled. Controlled by Kate Winslet in Divergent, Julianne Moore in Hunger Games, Jodie Foster in Elysium, Tilda Swinton in Snowpiercer, Meryl Streep in The Giver, who...
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I hope the volume wasn't too high on some of these clips, but you never know. You never know. I had to go back and listen to them and try to straighten them out if at all possible. I wanted to say something about Donald Trump. I know a lot of folks out there are probably sick and tired of hearing about Donald Trump, but this guy is news. What can I say? He's news. I don't like covering him myself, actually, but this is a commentary show. It's a political show, among other things, and I just have to talk about it. I mean, Donald Trump is interesting in a negative way. I mean, this guy, if he's elected president, God hope, and God, I hope not. He is too dangerous. Donald Trump is too dangerous to, I mean, some of his rhetoric has already spun a lot of hatred. I mean, a lot of Americans are now afraid to come out of their homes because they don't know they might be confronted with a Donald Trump supporter and a hater, a racist. You never know, and they might commit some sort of harm. These his supporters are Looney Tunes. There's no doubt about it. They're crazed people. You know, I mean, I've seen a few of them. They look wild. I mean, they look Donald Trump. You know, they look crazy. And all the stories that are in the New York Times, the Washington Post, Huffington Post, Donald Trump, he lashes out, as you probably know, he lashes out at the media. He lashes out at anybody who says anything negative towards him. The other day, he lashed out at Saturday Night Live, saying that they can't act, they're poor. I mean, he lashed out at the actors on Saturday Night Live. He was pissed off. They showed him in a negative light, and he didn't like that. This is what's proving to be thin-skinned to everybody pertaining to Donald Trump. He's thin-skinned. And how in the hell is he going to handle this or that? Once he gets in the White House, if he gets there, he's going to try to destroy every media outlet that said something negative about him. He's going to go after people who said a lot of rotten things about him. I mean, he's going to bring them down. He's going to take Fox down. He's going to take New York Times down, maybe Washington Post. He's going to take all of these things down and get rid of them and demolish them, because they said something nasty about him and he didn't like it. So we cannot have him in office. And I can understand why there's so many African Americans out there supporting Trump. I mean, they have no shame. I mean, they're out there, and And Donald Trump, voting for Donald Trump, so many people don't realize voting for Donald Trump is voting against your own interest. He's not there for you. Donald Trump wants power. He wants, even if he can work with Congress or not, he's got that. He's going to have executive power and he can use that. He's going to have power. He's going to have some Republicans on his side. Not all. He's going to have, you know, I mean, this guy is dangerous. And if we can talk about the New York Times, Washington Post, and Huffington Post again, these news outlets, these publications, online publications, they are always writing, every day they're writing something negative about Donald Trump. Donald Trump, Donald Trump this, Donald, and most of the stuff that they write is true. These are journalists. They are professional journalists. Donald Trump is not a journalist, but he's trying to tell them what to do. And the other day, Donald Trump was saying that he's going to sue the New York Times if they didn't retract an article pertaining to the women who came out and said Donald Trump assaulted them in some sort of way, sexual assault. And he said that if they didn't retract, if the New York Times did not retract what they had written about him, that he was going to sue the paper. I'm here to tell you, folks, Donald Trump is not going to sue anybody. I mean, if you look at his, if you look in his past, he has threatened to sue a lot of organizations that have said something negative about him. He has not sued anyone. I guarantee you, search Donald Trump's suit. You will not find one suit that he has filed. Donald Trump will not sue anybody. It's proven. I mean, years and years and years, he's been saying only thing he's going to do is threaten you. He will threaten you to sue you to see if you're going to jump and obey his commands, but he's not going to sue you. Why, you ask? Well, one of the reasons why Donald Trump will not sue is because he will be in a court of law, a civil suit or whatever it is, a crime or whatever it is. He's not going to sue anybody, because if he sues, it will bring out so much of his dealings. He would have to expose himself and just about everything that he's done and that he does in order to try to defend himself against the person or the plaintiff who is suing him. If he wants to sue over his tax returns, his 1995 tax returns that were submitted by numerous outlets, he's not going to sue over his tax returns, because if he sues over his tax returns, that means he's going to have to release his current returns. And we're going to find a hell of a lot. And he doesn't want that. We're going to find a hell of a lot out. And he doesn't want that. And if he tries to sue over these women who have accused him of sexual crimes, and there's been a lot of them, this is going to come out. Because remember, folks, Donald Trump, in his own words, said he did these kinds of things. So it's Donald Trump, you know, destroying Donald Trump. He's not going to sue, because he knows that his lies, his taxes, he will be found guilty. You know, he will be found guilty because he knows he's a liar. He knows he's a con man. He knows he's cheated people out of their pay, and so on and so forth. He is not going to sue anybody. Too much of his business will be out there. We will find out that he's not as rich as he claims he is. He may have some sort of holdings and investments in Russia. He's actually the pervert, the sexual assault culprit that everybody's saying he is. A lot of this stuff will come out. He's the racist, the hate, all this stuff would come out. So he's not going to sue anybody. He would threaten to sue you to see if you're going to jump and get and become afraid, because he's a bully. He's a straight up bully. So he's not going to sue anyone. And his lawyer knows this. And lawyers all around the spectrum know that Donald Trump is not going to sue anybody. He will be out there. He will be ruined if he tries to sue someone. He'll be ruined. He'll be exposed for what he is. He doesn't have to be exposed to what he is, because a lot of us know what he is anyway. But it will be there on record in court of what he is. And another thing I can understand, Donald Trump and his supporters, they make all of these damn threats of violence, and none of these people go to jail. I'm hearing that the Secret Service do talk to some of these people who actually say they're going to commit violence. But Donald Trump isn't, he incites violence. He tells his supporters the Secret Service should be talking to Trump more than anything, because he is inciting violence. He's telling his supporters to go out there and shoot somebody, kill somebody. And then we'll blame it on the Democrats. We'll blame it on Hillary. He is the main culprit that should be taken off that damn stage in handcuffs and shoved in the back of a squad car and taken to jail. But they won't do this. You know what? I have a feeling that after this November election is over, I have a feeling something's really, really going to happen, because I think that a lot of these people who have so much on Donald Trump, I mean, proof and everything, is going to come out after the election. Whether he wins or loses, we're not going to hear the last of Donald Trump. Even if Donald Trump loses, Donald Trump will still be out there. He still will be talking to his supporters. I'm hearing now that Donald Trump is trying to grab his own TV show on cable, his own network, just like Oprah Winfrey. He's coming up with his own network, because they feel that Donald Trump has so many supporters that they would probably pay to tune into his cable network show after the election. If he loses, you know, he's going to have a show, the Donald Trump show. Who knows? And all this, and it's going to be another, in my opinion, it's going to be another right wing hate radio show. I mean, television show, maybe radio show. He may have a radio show too, but it's going to be all about revving up his supporters like he's doing now to hate and incite violence. This is what Donald Trump is about. And it always amazed me that what is his family thinking? He's got about four adult kids, I believe. Do they agree with what their father is doing? Do they agree with what he's saying? Do they agree with how he's inciting so much hate and how unhinged and thin skinned he is? Or are they the same as he is? Probably the same as he is. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. You know, this guy is something else. Donald Trump is just something else. I mean, there's not a television show, a legitimate television show on television that isn't talking about Donald Trump. I mean, you go to every damn website, a news website. You got a lot of websites out here. You got a lot of people posting things on the internet that are not true. It looks true. It looks like it's from a legitimate website. A lot of times it's not true, because I go to Facebook and LinkedIn. I can just about tell when something is not true. You can just look at the source, where it came from. You know, so before you, as Bill Maher was saying, a lot of times, a lot of these on some of these websites pop up these postings of Hillary losing and all of this kind of thing. They're false. False polling, you know, you know, trying to get you to think that Hillary's losing. And the first thing you're going to say is, why should I vote for a loser? And Hillary lose your vote. And you know, you have to watch out what you read. I tell my son every day, do not read. do not believe everything that you read. I don't care if it's on the internet. I don't care if it's on television. You know, in this day and age, 2016, you really got to figure out what's true and what's not true. It may look legitimate, but you know what? A lot of people fall for that. They fall for this this made up stuff on the internet. They fall for these false news sites, these lying posts. And a lot of the people fall for it and believe it, even though inside of themselves they know it's not true, but they're filled with so much hate and so much racism that they believe anything, especially if it's negative. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear about facts. They don't give a shit about facts. They want to hear lies. They want to hear lies. This is Donald Trump supporters. They want their master, their dictator, to tell them to go out and assault Democratic voters. He has said it. He's denying it. He's always denying. Donald Trump is always denying things that has come straight out of his mouth. You know, you hear him saying it. It's on tape. And he just denies it. I didn't do that. It didn't happen. But didn't you say it? You said it. I didn't say it. We have it on tape. I didn't say it. And, you know, and it goes round and around and around with Donald Trump. All right. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. It's 7:11 straight up Chicago time. I want to thank my guest, author Lauren Midgley, business and professional speaker. I mean, she had some great stuff there, folks. So make sure you go to her website, check her out, check out what she does. If you're in a business, whether it's a startup business or whether you've been in business for a while, you know, go check out her book out, go check out her website, and she will help your business to be a better business. Okay, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We will be right back. This is Trump's hot mic.
A newly released audio from back in 2005, Donald Trump was caught on a hot mic while waiting to appear on a soap opera. Now, a little spoiler alert for you before we roll this. When he doesn't know he's being recorded, it gets really weird. Let's listen.
And she used to be great. She's still very beautiful.
I moved on her, actually. You know, she was down in Palm Beach. I moved on her, and I failed. I'll admit it.
Whoa.
I did try and fuck her.
She it's was coming out of his mouth.
No, Nancy. Yeah.
And he denies this. He denies it coming straight out of his mouth.
Furniture shopping. She wanted to get some furniture. I said, I'll show you where they have some nice furniture. I took out furniture. I moved on her like a bitch, but I couldn't get there, and she was married. And all of a sudden, I see her. She's now got the big phony tits and everything. She's totally changed her look.
She's your girl's hot as shit in the purple.
Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa. Oh,
yes, the Donald has scored.
Whoa.
Oh, my man. Wait, you got to look at me when you get out of your
legs. That is very
funny. Give me the thumbs up.
Look at you. You are a
piece. You got to put the thumbs up. You got to get the thumbs up. Can't be too happy.
Can we get anybody else off first?
Yeah, let me.
It's very funny.
You got to give me the thumbs up.
You and I will work there.
Yeah, so you have it open, you have chat open.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I have a closed and then I have
it. Maybe it's a different one.
Better not be the publicist. No, it's her.
Yeah, that's her, with the gold. I gotta use some Tic Tacs just in case I start kissing her. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. You just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the pussy. I could do anything.
Those legs, all I can see is the legs.
No, it looks good.
That was Billy Bush in the background. I mean, he's just egging Trump on. And he, as you probably know, the guy lost his job. They fired him from today. And fired him. And if you know Howard Stern said he will not release any more tapes of Trump because he feels Trump was his friend. So he's not going to try to demonize Trump, you know, but everybody's asking for those tapes. And even they want tapes from The Apprentice because they said that it's been said that the tapes from The Apprentice is a lot more explosive than his hot mic tape where he says he's going to grab the girls, the women or that thing or whatever. But anyway, folks, we got to vote. I mean, just the election is 2-3 weeks away from now. We have to vote. We have to get out there and do this. I mean, we cannot sit back and say, no, we're not going to do this. We cannot be stupid. We cannot be crazy. We cannot be dumb. We got to get out there and do something. We got to vote. If you know somebody who's unregistered, talk to them and get them registered. You know, we have got, and if you go into the polling, make sure you be careful, because you never know what's gonna transpire at some of these polling places, because there may be some Trump supporter hanging around the poll waiting to do hurt somebody. So be careful while you're going to the polls, but do go to the polls. Do go out there and vote, because this show is all about making the world a better place, making the world a better place, making. Trump talks about making the world great. He has made us less safer than any time in history. Making America great. Man, are you senile? He has made us less safe, but America will always be a great country. It was great before Donald Trump was born. America will always be a great nation. He is not going to make it any. He's already made it the worst countries. He's already taken us down a notch. There's no doubt about it. He's taken America down a notch. People from other countries are looking at us and laughing because Donald Trump is a laughingstock. Majority of the leaders around the world, they say they don't like him. They don't want him to be a part of this. Hell, Americans don't like him. Hillary is headed for a landslide. Americans, especially women totally despises Donald Trump. They can't stand it. At least some of the women that I know, okay? They can't stand Donald Trump. And I'm reading article after article where he is just not doing well with women. And because of this, some of his supporters are saying, get rid of the 19th Amendment to the Constitution, where that means taking away the right for women to vote, and only men will vote. So if only men will vote, so he'll probably win. So that was stupid. But it gets really, really, really hot when it comes to Donald Trump supporters. The other day, one of his supporters said something that if Hillary wins, that there should be a revolution. I mean, these people are crazy, nutty, batty, racist, hateful. They, you know, and this is all because of Donald Trump. And he's still out there at the sound of my voice, revving up his base, you know, sprouting hatred, yelling, screaming, looking crazy. And I'm always saying, what about his family? Does his family have? Do they feel the same way? Do they think the same way he does? His wife, I think her name is Ivanka. His wife, she looks like a model or something. I mean, she looks like she's straight out of Playboy. From my understanding, she was some sort of model back in the day. She was saying that she thought Donald Trump's words were despicable. You know, she was saying this, you know, and I'm wondering about his family. Does his family really think he's that kind of a person? All righty. But you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. You are on the air.
Yes. Good evening, sir. How are you doing?
I'm fine, man. How are you doing?
Well, good. I just got to say, well, two things. Number one, I think this has to be stated. Did you watch the vice presidential debate by any chance?
Yeah, I did, with Tim Kaine and Mike Pence.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, and I want to ask you in all honesty, did Tim Kaine? I mean, did he not look like a pedophile? Like, seriously,
like a pedophile?
Yeah, like
he
looked like a sex offender. Like, I was just like blown away. I've never seen someone. Have that kind
no,
of look
not to me. No, he did not. Not to me. He did not look like that. I mean, I was just listening to what he was saying. I do think he came off as an attack dog. I don't think he should have done that. I think he should have probably just stuck to the issues. But okay. as a sex offender, no. Yeah.
Okay, but to the point about when people talk about the recent, the recent issues that we have with Trump lately, with the allegations and with the Billy Bush tape and whatnot, I think what's really funny to me is like the timing of the release of all that stuff and when it came out. Not as much as that, the fact that it happened around when the second debate was going on, or how the Billy Bush tape came out, you know, when it did, and all that stuff is one thing. But what's interesting to me is how it came out at the same time where all the major WikiLeaks releases have been coming out. And the fact that we have documentable proof of massive corruption with the Clintons on levels that I don't think anyone really thought it was on this level. Like today, for example, we had a release come out where you have foreign dignitaries from Qatar pay $1 million to Bill Clinton in a birthday gift to get a 5-minute meeting with him. And in regards to securing a contract during the whole Haitian situation, when they had the Haitian earthquake, they were trying to secure a contract that his foundation was in control of. And so to secure that, they gave him $1 million for a 5-minute meeting. Okay. And what's even sad about that is in Haiti, the vast majority of the people that were supposed to get that money didn't get a dime. And the mainstream media has like completely neglected to even mention any of these things. Now, that's not even talking about. Yeah.
I was going to say, you think in the mainstream media is paying too much attention to Trump's hot mic. And you should think, you think that they should be paying more attention to Hillary Clinton's emails. I don't know that. You're saying that that this came out weeks before I don't buy that because I don't think it came out that way.
Well, I mean, it's on the record. Like they report, TMZ even reported how the NBC producers had the tape that about the whole Billy Bush tape. They had that back in August, but that they waited for this particular time in October to release it. That's a calculated move. Now, when it comes to the WikiLeaks thing, what people don't understand, it's not her emails that's the problem. See, people get that. That's how the media tries to spin it. We're talking about the actual content. I'll give you an example. While she was Secretary of State, right, there was several Russian oligarchs who were trying to secure big contracts to gain access to certain uranium that we have in the United States. The bids, but when we go back and examine it, they had the bids after they had donated a tremendous amount of money to the Clinton Foundation. And on top of that, had invited both Hillary and Bill Clinton to speaking engagements where they both received more than $750,000 apiece to do a speech to the same group that then secured the bid to gain the uranium. So what we have here is documented evidence of a pay-for-play scandal, both when she was both Secretary of State and both that Bill Clinton and her had both engaged in since he had came out of office. Just remember, she was on record saying that when her and Bill Clinton left office, they were basically broke. Now they're worth $250 million. Now the question I have for everyone listening is, they didn't get that money because they made a business or they produced something. They got that money through donations and speaking engagements, where her and Bill Clinton would get paid anywhere from $250,000 to $2 million to do a speech. Now most of these speeches were to who? We have it on record. It was to Wall Street brokers, big banks, corporate lobbyist groups, and foreign dignitaries that were trying to secure bids when she was Secretary of State. Now, that's documented corruption on levels that's incredible. And the media doesn't even touch it. And most people you talk to aren't even aware of this fact. And people are getting caught up in something Donald Trump said and this and that. When in reality, if we want to talk about character, if character is at hand here, then all you have to do is go and look. You have both on record, both written accounts, video testimonies of people who actually dealt with Hillary Clinton when she was first lady in the 90s. And how much she abused them, regularly cussed them out, physically actually assaulted many of the staffers there. I mean, don't take my word. You can even go to George Stephanopoulos, the ABC news anchor, and he was when he was a staffer with the Clintons. He had it's an audio recording of he went in detail about all the things Hillary Clinton had done to many of the people that were in the White House at the time, and including we have many Secret Service agents who worked with Hillary Clinton, who are on record talking about how abusive she was, how she regularly cussed everyone out, how she would have temper tantrums on a daily basis, how she got upset whenever she saw uniformed soldiers either in the White House or in the same room with her. And so we're talking about, if we talk about a character issue, these things are on record. Now, why is the media not even discussing these things? It's because the media is sponsored and paid for by the same corporate groups and lobbyists that are paying Hillary Clinton. That's why they're not touching it with a 10-foot pole, because they're all on the same team. And we as the populace are the ones getting pissed on and telling them that it's raining. Incredible.
Hillary is headed for a landslide in the election. Why do you think that is?
Well, that's easy. I mean, Thomas Jefferson talked about it. He warned us about this. He said the American democracy can only thrive with a well-informed and educated populace. What we have today, when you talk to the majority of people, whether it's your family, your friends, people you see on the street, what you end up finding is that most people don't approach, especially the presidential election, as a means of in-depth policy analysis and comparison with the two candidates. What we end up seeing is that it's become nothing more than American Idol, where you're voting on someone because you like them, which is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. Because this is, if we talk strictly economics alone, his economic plan versus hers, it's not even close. It's night and day. His is dramatically better for the American people. But most people aren't even aware of this because the media pushed this narrative that, oh, Trump doesn't have a substantive economic plan, which is mind-blowing to me that people believe that. And when you actually talk to people and you ask them, can you actually compare Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump's economic plans and explain to me the pros and cons of both and how they benefit you and your family and the country as a whole and why you prefer one over the other? Just try asking that to people. Most people have idea even how to even address that.
We're out of time now. Thanks for your call. Bye-bye. Okay, we've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Heaven help the child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Anyone who never saw. Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has a claw.
All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're just about off the air. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. It was fun. Callers, guests, thank you for your input to the show. I think we're off. All right, bye-bye. Take care.